Beloved radio friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our precious Savior, we greet you warmly, giving you a hearty invitation to enjoy with us the precious study of the Word of God. We continue the theme of our study, which relates to God's children in the family of the Father, and particularly their responsibility to live a life of obedience that is well-pleasing to the Father, as we are considering it from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. We have noted in verses 13 through 16 that we are called to live an obedient and a practical holy life. May God ever help us to keep before us, though conscious, sometimes very deeply conscious, of our shortcomings and failure, that the standard of right living God desires us to aim at. And may you and I, my fellow believer, be seeking to please Him in this respect. We have also noted in verse 17 of this first chapter of 1 Peter that we call on the Father, and the Father constantly, on those who call Him, He constantly is watching, He constantly is judging and discerning what we are doing, what we say, how we think and what we think, together with the motives that we may have within our hearts and within our minds. May I remind my fellow believer, and this I need to be reminded of myself, we have a Father in heaven who sees right through us. Did we not quote in the preceding message the words of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13? All things are open and naked to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There's not a word, there's not a thought, there's not a deed, there's not a motive that can be hidden from the Father above. Oh, may you and I ever remember, as we may read in the book of Genesis, chapter 16 and verse 13, the words of one of old, when she found in her dilemma, in her problem, in her difficulty, and in a perplexity, as well as the danger of dying and losing her life with her child also, she learned that God was watching her. And she said, "Thou, God, seest me," that she was the object of divine observation. My fellow Christian, you and I should ever remember the eyes of our Father constantly watches day and night. May we ever be conscious of the fact. Now we come to verses 18 through 21 in 1 Peter chapter 1. We would read these words, for here we find why the Father would place such a claim of holy living upon His children. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Beloved, here we have one of the rightful claims of the Father to call us to a life of holiness and living that will please Him, and seeking to pattern ourselves after His own blessed and holy character. You say, what is that claim? Oh, can I not state it in these very brief words? It is the infinite price that the Father paid for your redemption and my redemption, my fellow Christian. Nothing upon the earth has ever purchased the redemption of your soul, my fellow believer. And if I may be speaking in the hearing of one who is not a Christian, nothing upon the earth has ever been able to purchase your redemption. For as you read in this 18th verse, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Beloved, let's realize that nothing upon the earth can buy our redemption. The poet has well written in Christian hymnology, silver nor gold cannot buy my redemption. Oh, my radio listener, if I'm saved, will you not realize there is nothing in the world that can buy your redemption? Though you and I may today be observing and are acquainted with this fact, that much of the world's gold is certainly being hoarded and kept by certain Arabic nations who are the possessors and have the resources of the oil and the supply of oil upon the face of the earth today. And according to the information that we glean, their monetary riches are constantly increasing into billions and billions and billions. They may ultimately possess most of the world's gold. Beloved, let not that trouble you. All the gold they may possess can never buy the salvation and the redemption of their soul. For we are not redeemed with corruptible things, even as silver and gold. And though silver and gold may seem to be the brightest, the greatest, the most desired treasure the hearts of men may seek after, 'twon't get you to heaven, can take you to hell. Well, did the psalmist say, though a man, no matter if he boasts in his riches, he cannot with those riches and the multitude of them redeem his brother, or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious. So note in verse 19, what is it that has bought your redemption in mind, my fellow believer? What is it, my friend that is unsaved, that has bought your redemption if you will obtain it and receive it? Here are the words. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Oh, my beloved radio friend, can you say, I am redeemed? But can you say, I am redeemed because I know my redemption has been purchased by the price that heaven paid for it? And that is the precious blood of Christ. Precious blood of Jesus, one is well written, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Oh, my beloved Christian friend, will you not meditate briefly but completely, thoroughly and deeply, on the price of your redemption in mine, the precious blood of Christ, shed upon the cross of Calvary, shed by one who was a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And then you note in verse 20, this was God's eternal purpose, which he determined we should be redeemed by the blood of his Son, who verily, this beloved Son, this beloved blessed Lamb, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, my beloved, do you not realize God's eternal purpose, long before the ages of time ever commenced, in that past bygone eternity, before the world's foundations were ever laid, God purposed 'twould be his own beloved Son, the Lamb of God, who would thus give himself to be the ransom to save your soul and to save mine. Ordained to be such before the ages began, yes, but has already been made known. He has come. He has lived upon the earth. He has died upon the earth. My beloved, you and I can look back with thanksgiving and praise, and there upon the cross of Calvary by faith, we may acknowledge, and some of us who are saved, those of us who are saved, we do acknowledge, he loved me, and he died for me. For you notice in verse 21 particularly, that our faith, we who believe on the Lord Jesus, we've appropriated him. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Oh, my beloved, we who have believed upon him have appropriated what Christ did to bring us to the Father, to make us the Father's children, to bring us into this family relationship. How did we get into it? We believe the message. And as the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. My radio listener, if you are unsaved, why do you not believe? God, who foreordained it before the foundation of the world, sent his beloved Son to the earth. And you know the story of it. You've heard it again and again. And he sent him to the cross of Calvary to become a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And he wants you to believe that he did it. And that he did it, that he accomplished that redemption, has been proved. God raised him from the dead when it was finished. And then he gave him glory. And in that man who died, who was buried, and who was risen again, God says, I want you to put your faith in him. And you'll not only have your faith in him, you'll have your hope in him, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Let us recapitulate very briefly for the little limited time we have. Here we are exhorted to recognize the Father's government or discipline over his children in the family which belong to him. We have a call to obedience and holy living. We have also, thank God, the Father's judgment upon the conduct each day, each moment of the day we live. May we remember that he is watching us and observing us, and we should pass the time of our pilgrimage on the earth as his children in fear. The claims of the Father, because of what he has done in giving his beloved Son to redeem us. And oh, surely, every child of God owes to the Father his and her obedience. To you who are not Christians, may I again make a plea? This same blessed Son of God died for you. Will you not put your faith in him? No amount of silver and gold will ever obtain your soul's redemption. Christ alone has purchased and paid that price with his own precious blood. Trust him today as your Savior, is our earnest plea. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, sanctify and bless thy word to the hearts and consciences and lives of all. In Jesus' name, amen.